Pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So, so the record reflects that the three commissioners are here, Chief Todd is here. So, our agenda. Anyone from the public wish to speak? Anyone from the public? During the last call, anyone from the public wish to speak? Hearing no one, we will close the public portion of the meeting. Are there any additions, corrections, or anything that you can do?
There is just one thing, Patrolman Sissico's monthly LTA report, which I neglected to forward to Susanna to be included, so you all have a copy. We could just include his monthly report under department, I'm sorry, under private authority business.
Okay, I'll make a motion to do so.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, minutes of our previous meeting. I don't see anything that needs to change.
I didn't see anything out there. Okay.
I'll
make the motion.
Second, Mr. Mike. All those in favor? Close. So moved. Old business.
A couple things under old business. The first is I met with the inspector general today, Judge Devlin, regarding the final report regarding patrolmen. Police on the shooting, although they had tentatively closed that out in his favor previously. The final report has finally been completed. It was presented to me today. Officer Fulton was also involved in the meeting where he was able to ask questions, etc. So the case is officially closed. He hasn't been cleared of any wrongdoing. The report will be made public this Thursday on the IG's website, State Connected website, for anyone looking to actually read it. It's not that long. I think it's like 36 pages, 30-something pages. So it's nothing really embarrassing. Nothing embarrassing to the department in the report at all. There is some mention of the previous discipline involving Patrolman Foley, which the judge spoke to him about, basically said that they need to go over previous discipline to make sure there's no patterns. And it was briefly mentioned in the report. So Patrolman Foley is aware of it, and doesn't surprise him it's in there. So other than that, no surprises in the report.
Okay, good.
Second item is ongoing hiring process. We are in the final stages of taking on two more lateral transfers. Another detective from Waterbury. He is the first Officer McCormick's partner in Waterbury, very highly rated, and a officer from Bridgeport. I don't have the specifics of him saying he also was very highly rated. We have a third lateral transfer. Unfortunately, we can only take two right now, which I'll get into in a minute, but we have a third very viable lateral transfer candidate. NYPD, on the job, I believe, 4 years. His wife, who's a doctor, just got transferred and got a job at Griffin, so he needs to leave. And he looks like a great candidate as well. So two, definitely, the reason we can't take on three, because we're still short four, is because we're having a little bit of trouble on the financial side at City Hall with them giving us the money for Chief Narowski's term. So I think I mentioned before, Chief Narowski is still being paid out of his regular line. I'm being paid out of the deputy's line. The the upcoming deputies test, I believe is November 29th. And the oral will be the following week, first week of December. And we'll probably be looking to swear in a new deputy after consulting with your board sometime prior to Christmas. At that point, 6 months into the fiscal year, we're now going to have three full-time salaries coming out of two salary positions. I can't replace Chief Nowrowski's position, even though he is, for all intents and purposes, officially retired, until the city gives us the money above and beyond the money that went into the chief salary at the start of the year. I was told that that would happen at the last task force meeting. They did not meet. Apparently, the chair resigned. He has not been replaced, to my knowledge. There has been some grapevine things that it's intentional they're not replacing him, but that's above and beyond. But the feedback I'm getting unofficial is that there's kind of an uprising on the tax board too, and no one wants to meet. Now, if the tax board doesn't meet, they can't vote to give us money to replace him, so I don't know what we're going to do. So we're keeping an eye on that. I spoke to Mr. Mayhew. He's hopeful the tax board will meet in November. We don't know for sure. It will be on the agenda if they meet in November, but there's nothing to say there. So back to the laterals. That's why we can only take two. We are definitely still short Chief Nowrowski's replacement and potentially the replacement of our long disabled officer who supposedly had a hearing last week or 2 weeks ago, and I've heard nothing about it from our attorneys. I reached out to them and heard nothing. I'm also hearing through the grapevine they rescheduled again, but we were never informed. So that officer, whether it comes to your board for a termination hearing, as was previously going to be the way, or whether something else comes of it, it'll be the last one that needs to be replaced. But, so we are moving along well with laterals, and we'll be okay if we get these two. We'll be short two officers, well, really three, because it'll be 18 months before Fulmer gets out of the academy. So, but, you know, we're kind of chugging along.
I realize that we're paying three positions out of two spots. We're also paying overtime, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it's
one of most of
them. Yeah.
Well, it's a similar amount of money, but I was just thinking if you're going to ideally promote somebody to your old position, right?
Yes.
And then you have to promote somebody to that position that they come from if they're already at
highly likely.
Yeah. I mean, if we could space that a month or two, we'd get us closer to,
Right, so there is already a little bit of extra money that will be in that line because of, because I've been being paid on that line the entire time, so there was never a departure. There was no position. Actually, that line is already overspent because of my payroll. So.
Yeah, that just is not going to be like the full amount of what Jared's getting for his payout because we're still taking it out of his old chief or out of your deputy chief pay.
Wherever it's coming from, yes.
When you're going to run out,
it's going to run out and it's going to run out.
It'll run out fast, but their position, if we don't fill it, we'll have a little bit of wiggle room there for a month or two. Because what I'm worried about is if you got somebody good that's a lateral transfer, we leave him twisting for 6 months, he's going to get another job someplace else.
Oh, absolutely.
So, absolutely. I'm just thinking if we can get him December or January, and then when we know we're going to have an opening, and just let people know we're going to have a little bit of an opening to fill, if you promote a lieutenant or a sergeant, whoever gets your old job, so we'll still have that position to pay the transfer guy out of. So we'll have a little bit of money. It's not going to be the full $100,000 or whatever, but...
Well, what I have to watch is unless the city funds Jerry's position as a terminal leave position, effectively moving him off our books, I can't exceed the 34 sworn that is authorized by the Board of Aldermen by putting on another officer if Jerry's not moved into a terminal leave category. I'm exceeding the board.
Actually, that's going to be over. Okay.
maximum manpower, if you will, for him to do that. So, we'll hope that they do something in November. I just have no idea where we're going.
Sadly, we're not seeing that we'll be, you know, it's stupid enough to try to lock up this.
So that was my other thing under old business. So I attended the Capitol meeting and explained the ongoing saga. I give David some kudos because he got up there and said what needed to be said. And I think it went in one ear and out the other ear. But the bottom line is, they voted, and it was all prearranged without talking to me, to remove our request from Capitol and put it before the Board of Aldermen to be funded under ARPA funds. As you know, the Board of Aldermen have refused to allow the mayor to expend the ARPA funds. I think I see the writing on the wall why they did this. But the meeting is, I believe, this Thursday. And I will be at the meeting, virtually, obviously, but I will be at the meeting to plead the department's case. And all of them are either going to choose to pry the lid off the ARPA funds, or they're going to continue the hardline stance, and we won't be funding the project. So,
it's more expensive to reach.
Well, what I will tell the Board of Aldermen, and it's not stopping my feet, it is the God's honest truth, I'm not going to put our officers at risk. We have two cars that they're currently driving that work 100,000 miles on. And the last time we had cars with that kind of mileage on, it was probably the early 90s. And 100 parking bumps, and that's going to effectively stop the auxiliary program. We won't have any cars go up to anything, but it will knock our guys, the construction program down, the money we're bringing with that, because there won't be cars to take out there for that. But I just can't allow these frontline cars to be driven with 100,000 miles on them. So we will start parking cars, and that's the bottom line.
Understandable. When it comes to safety, that's you have to do that.
It is what it is.
Anything else under old business?
That's all I have.
Anything, Mike?
No.
We'll move on to new business.
I have nothing.
Department reports.
The budget, as we discussed, we're maintaining around $25,000 overspent in overtime. That number really, I don't believe, has increased much from last month. It was not a bad month this month. The lieutenant's wage line, the second one down, you see, is overspent by $1,700. That's for what we just discussed, the fact that I'm getting paid out that line at an increased rate. So that will continue to be overspent, and the rest of the budget so far looks fine. As far as investigations,
nothing to say about else, but you see the numbers have climbed since last year.
They look pretty, other than possible burglaries from last month and this month. They're certainly up from last year.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
But yeah, there's nothing major. Our motor vehicle enforcement is certainly up, and that is intentional. We've been having monthly meetings with our first line supervisors, and we all agree it's time to pull ourselves out of COVID mode and get back to doing work, so that's why we're seeing some more things going on along those routes. And other than that, I've got nothing additional.
Anything else, Luke?
How about just add hearings? Karen Case has sent to us today. It's regarding the Sodom Lane and John Street. Here's a letter she had submitted to the board in 2002. I'm not going to read it, it's pretty long, but she summarized it. She had an issue with planning zoning of Big Y was constructed. So the back entrance to Big Y was originally designed as a shipping entrance only when Caldors was built. Over the years, the daily use transitioned to general public over the repeated objections of the neighborhood. Now the plaza is getting busier and there's more traffic in general, so yes, it's a problem. Please reconsider the realignment of stop signs prior to considering any other changes. That's just where the stop sign... There isn't a stop sign at John Street. It's at the little back entrance to Big Y and whatever else is going to go in there. So the people from John Street have a stop sign, and then there's nothing stopping the cars on Sodom for them to come out left or right. So they have to just go to it's clear. So she wants to do one of those stop signs back. So that's what she's looking before we would think of anything else. She said closing the entrance would be a solution, but she said I don't think that's going to be considered. And a lot of people go in and out. It's convenient for the people who live there, especially when it was Adams. It's, well, they're not going to be able right in there.
And it's still construction within the old Adams complex.
Yes, can
you hear us?
Okay. So that's it. And she has a letter from 2002 that she submits and I'll put it so it gets on the record. But she was one of us. If we do consider anything else on the road, we will consider that first. So that's the communication from hearing.
Well, just speaking from history down here, really the two stop signs are on South Lane, other people shouldn't be there. But that's at this point, that's not an option to remove them, but to alleviate that situation, it almost seems like we have to change the location of the exit of Big Y. That's beyond our purview. That's P&Z. And that would probably be a very expensive thing because that grade drops off steeply after you go past that
direction.
I don't know that her, not that her complaints are falling on deaf ears by any means, but I don't know that really what caused the problem is putting the stop signs in the field. Everyone wants stop signs, three-way stops at every street on Sodom, which is not feasible. We are currently looking at Sodom Lane at the request of the mayor for other complaints, not enough speed limit signs.
That area just needs to be widened.
It's just another one of those things that
it's a problem that
unfortunately previous chiefs and previous administrations approached the solution as let's just throw more stop signs up, and that's really almost never a potential solution.
Like I said, the traffic I saw this one day, this one, the 2 days on the cops and coming from Big Y, and people actually are now coming from 34, and going on Sunday.
They're going to be the one
mostly. No question. Yeah. It's, you know, it's an area where traffic gets increased. It was a horse path, I'm sure, 10 years ago, and it just got paved and built into a road. And I wonder if zoning, when Big Y went in, if that exit was ever carried through as a shipping exit. I would think after, you know, I remember when, was it clear? That was supposed to be a shipping dock next to Texas only. I wonder if each time that they applied for different zoning variances and stuff, it could get smaller.
Again, I brought that
not gender, we'll be talking about the fact that that our meetings will happen at the beginning of the year, so we can move them and straight up carry on with the rest of the year.
They can only do one. So
they did one.
Good one in March.
March, yeah. Or is it 2 days?
They did two.
Okay.
Yeah. So both companies, another hospital did one in June, and this is the second one.
Okay.
And then Stars did one in June.
That's fine. I just, I think it would definitely help your board and help us to say when that all gets submitted at once and approved, if everyone wants to give a rain date, they probably should. And some emergency happens, maybe a switch, that's one thing.
Michael is bringing everything in on that early, so we can clear that at time.
Yeah, it could be, you can pick the month, obviously, before the first boot drive.
Right.
It doesn't have to be in February or March, but because you're not going to be standing outside until like May or something. People are going to be standing out there freezing in March and April to try to collect a nickel. So, but it could be just if they could do it all at once, we approve 8 of them and that's it.
Yeah, the festival.
Yeah,
the festival. It's easy enough. I mean, I think if you keep a good record, everything's been set.
Yeah.
They're getting off that hot because they think they've been set already. It's not fine.
What was the date? I'll make the motions.
This is November 5th, 2022.
November.
I'll make that motion. We accept it.
Okay, and I'll second that.
And it's the same location as
same this
letter?
Yeah, it is. Same location. Yeah, I probably made the updated location for the response. Updated locations for the response will be the rental and Mavericks will be on place at the River Street and Main Street, Seymour Avenue, and at Water and the Home Depot entrance access room. Same place that they've always been done. So I'll make a motion we accept the storms.
What's going on with the
time
for the Hotchkiss?
I seconded the Hotchkiss.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved.
Okay. Storms? Yes, I make the motion that we accept the storms application for the new driver on December 17th, 2022. But then all three locations spelled out. Seymour Avenue and then Water.
Yeah,
and Home Depot entrance access room.
Okay, and that's a weekend, so they're not doing construction on 34. Okay, second.
Okay. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All
right.
Thank you. So I have a couple things. I saw something the other day, and I just held my breath. Transit bus coming from Shelton on Main Street. Discharges a dozen people. That may not was good against the government. There's a crosswalk, but there's no place for people to be off the road. And we decided to wait for the bus to leave and then start running across the road.
Yep, that was DOT's solution to moving the bus stop off the bridge when they started the bridge work. That's where they put it. That's where they wanted it.
Not much we're going to do with that one that they're already aware of it. We take the traffic on the places on the agenda right now.
Yeah, there is a second thing on patrol, Mrs. Sickles, for Gap, which we have to briefly discuss. So,
thank you, Marshall.
And again, you know, it's, I think we beat this to death, as I was discussing with Commissioner Bartholomew before we started here tonight, but as I discussed with Commissioner Leonard on the phone, if we don't do this right from the beginning, it is going to be so messed up, we will never get it right going forward. So as much as this wants to be pushed through from the City Hall side, I really think we have to push back enough to see that.
Right.
So far, we're not there.
Yeah.
one of the things that Brenda was on the module 7.3, all the steps and things that to justify even considering it, you have to do all this. Roadway functional speed, you got to worry that it's the school buses, the city buses, the emergency vehicles. We have to have crash data, parking, pedestrian activity, bicycle activity, emergency response route, things like that. None of that.
Also on the delivery area, we're trying to contribute to the
problem.
To my knowledge, and I could be completely wrong, it just hasn't been brought forward, and I haven't seen it to my knowledge. And certainly, we have to be.
That's another big issue, too.
I wouldn't engage the community until we have solid facts.
Right, and then one of the things that it says too is the stop sign is not a traffic calming device.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Right in the federal highway.
I'm a stickler for that, but I will say that if you haven't heard, the mayor has brought it up to me and to Commissioner Leonard about Academy High again.
Yeah.
And he's pushing for stop signs. They absolutely don't belong there. They don't comply with anything.
Okay.
But at this point, I'm willing to entertain it strictly because of the fact that nothing else is working. Even though they don't belong, it might be something that's a temporary measure. We try and see what happens. Again, we have to look at that objectively because we don't want to put something up there that doesn't belong. And then you have an accident that someone claims is because the person didn't stop at that stop sign.
Yeah.
It never should have been there to begin with.
No question.
Yeah. It's a slippery slope.
So it's a matter of high cast 22.
Yeah. Yeah, cast 22. Yeah, we could be very liable for us.
Sir.
I think the three, I called him that morning when we had that accident for the 39. I'm like, I guess, yeah, right. I said, yeah, right.
It was further down. It wasn't even on the curb part.
It was on the curb.
It was like one house,
yeah.
We all know it's a geometry issue. Hundreds of thousands to properly fix it. So yeah. Doesn't have it. But, it's just something that throwing signs at isn't going to fix it.
I mean, we brought the legislators to see if there's money out there. We went to the House of Governments to see if there's money for this. To make a major repair. There's nothing. Again, everything that needs to be done requires more.
Yeah, exactly.
And what, don't you have it?
Yeah.
People just go steam it, but be fine.
We have a second item on Patrol Mississippi. We have also received a request from Michael Ross, who owns Disney Dad Market, located on 196 River Street. Mr. Ross is requesting a 30-minute no parking sign to be installed directly in front of the store. Mr. Ross states that the residents park in front of the store all day, and that there's no parking for his customers. I checked the store numerous occasions, and there have been several cars parked in front of the business every time I check. Altamira's is located directly next to the business, and they have a 15-minute no parking sign posted. I would recommend that a 15-minute no parking sign be approved and posted in front of Mr. Ross's business.
All right, so let me just comment on that. So anytime someone from traffic makes a recommendation up the chain, we pass the recommendation along as it came, whether we agree with it. In this case, we don't agree with this. And I'm going to explain why. The no parking or the 15-minute parking signs in front of Altamira's have been there long before I was a police officer here. We don't allow that. Chief Narowski used to refer to parking as public goods. You can't reserve it for business use. I feel for this gentleman. But he is on the first floor of a four-story residential building. And if we put a 15-minute no parking sign there, or business sign, or whatever Altamira sign says, is that fair to the residents that are deprived of those parking spaces? Mr. Ross went in there knowing what he was getting into with parking down there. It's another slippery slope, because if you do it for one, you have to do it for all. And we can't be reserving one or two spots in front of street sign businesses because they're saying no, there's no agreement. From the police department standpoint, regardless of Patrolman Sixico's recommendation, I recommend you do not entertain it. That being said, I can already see the fairness type of argument coming up. All the cars has them. Yes, they do. I was probably, I guess, 10 years old when I knew stuff, but, I see them as being grandfathered, and I've just been very, very hesitant to start that practice of getting businesses on streets like that.
Do we even enforce that? You guys don't write tickets for parking more than 15 minutes. The last parking people don't. There's no parking authority anymore, so.
I don't even believe they would have the ability to enforce it. They all the other enforcement features.
Yeah, exactly. So
maybe we can also
put him there. People can still park there.
Throw him the option of going to the mayor's office, so I believe this control of parking of the division of human exists. Yeah. I talked about expanding the meter spaces further north of Elizabeth Street, but I believe this is a police department issue.
I concur.
Plus, they could park in front of Altamari's for 15 minutes and walk one.
They can't make it. Does not say parking only for Altamari.
It does not.
You know, and this idea of reserving spaces for businesses, it just can't fly.
Because everybody down the street doesn't have it.
No one has schedule with us. Every business down there has to be the same.
Exactly. I would
like to work with the mayor's office.
Yes, we do that. We should let me try.
But that's one of the former department authorities.
I don't even know who that is.
We recommend we deny putting it under our authority, because there's no way to enforce it. That'd be silly.
I don't really believe it's enforceable.
You guys aren't going to be writing parking tickets. You're not going to be marking tires and checking in 15 minutes.
To get more tires than
one. Or whatever. Take a picture of it. Paint on the ground, whatever you do.
Literally, that's just a United States Supreme Court case just got decided. It is a violation of Fourth Amendment to put chalk on someone's tires, because you're entering the curtilage of their vehicle to do it. And
can you make this up?
It was a major city that's occurred, and I forget where it was.
I'm sorry, it was too long.
Can you make it up?
You could break that grass or put a piece of junk there.
You sure? So it's changing the way we do things, too. It's not enforceable. It's a field of thing. And what I see it happening is the owner coming out to people, or we're out there calling us to say there's a car, the car could come tow the car, and we're not going to do
it. And I can see the parking, the resident will park his car there and left. And the store owner, just calls it, or cavalcade the car for one.
I think you park on, it's on 6th, right?
It's at the corner of this.
Yeah, they're parking on 6th.
They certainly do the run and golf bars in the morning, so.
Well, coming down from Cedar Ave, down that way, this park is all on this.
Always in front of the church. Yes. Not directly in front of the store, but
almost in front of the store.
Kind
of side of the street.
There's a bunch of.
And just before we move on to the next, if we could just go back to, I suppose it would be old business. I did forget to bring you up to speed on the people we've been dealing with. Austin to remember, as you mentioned, on the hops company. We are dealing with repeated complaints from residents about noise at the hops company again. We went through this probably 5 years ago or so. So we have been back and telling them they need to close their doors, they need to keep their music down. But the last time, the only thing that got them to comply was we threatened with the chronic nuisance ordinance. So just so you know, we're dealing with that. And more importantly, as you brought up to me a few weeks ago, they're back with the Thursday night college kid thing over at the Riverwalk Social. He has agreed to hire a police officer again on Thursday nights. That didn't do much. Last Thursday night was a madhouse down there with fights inside the fire alarm. Actually, I guess it was 2 weeks ago they had the fights, and then from all the kids vaping inside, they had the fire alarm last Thursday. Armed officers had said it would help them if there could be a marked cruiser parked outside. So he agreed to pay for a cruiser to be there as well. It's kind of a nightmare. So we are keeping track of these violations that are occurring there because we're heading down that chronic nuisance ordinance with him as well. We're not looking to stop any business from working in Kirby, but our main thing is underage drinking, and these IDs are so good.
Yeah,
I can't even blame them for letting these kids in there because they're glad that they are. So,
wasn't there a referral to the liquor commission?
There was. Since COVID, the liquor commission doesn't have a single agent that serves this area. I believe the liquor commission, and I'm shooting from the hip here, is down to about two employees, two inspectors in the entire state of Connecticut, and trying to get one to come down to do a
sponsor.
There is no liquor division really for the most part. You know, they're just rubber stamping permits, and that's what they do. we made a lot of recommendations to them last time. Former Chief Narowski spent a lot of time talking to them, made a lot of recommendations. They agreed to them. To my knowledge, they're still doing them with advanced technology for scanning these licenses and things, but licenses are so good they go right through the process. So just so you're aware, we are aware of it. If you're hearing anything, if you're seeing anything, we're doing our best. Our next step is going to tell him he's going to hire two and then three and four police officers, and when it becomes financially prohibitive for him, maybe he'll think about actually doing something
about it. Let that way, bottoms up and down there.
And there is a very narrow slice of the pie, if you will, for installing stop signs based strictly on crash data. But the problem is there's some other issues with line of sight and things like that. And especially coming down that hill, even if you put 36-inch stop signs on both sides of the road, if you change that flashing light to red on all three sides, and you put stop ahead signs halfway down that hill, I just don't know that it complies with the geometry requirements for a stop sign.
And also the line of sight with that, with the face, because that's a little thin on that road.
Yeah.
I traverse that up to the other face. Even that telephone on that side.
Absolutely, and as much as we're trying to find a way to say when the mayor said he was going to talk to me this week was the last meeting, he never said anything to me. So we're doing our due diligence now to have an answer for him should he actually come forward with that. But again, as I said, don't want to put it up there if you don't have some justification from your training that says, okay, this will fit into this little tiny notch in what we're trained when you use a stop sign. I don't want to throw a stop sign up there if I can't even remotely justify that there is a warrant for it. So
I mean, we don't want to create a weapon problem.
Yeah, we're preparing, should he come forward with that request,
and we have, like, the data, the number of crashes per how many thousand cars and stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's, there's a UConn.
I mean, it's higher than other places in town, but,
sure.
But there's a lot of traffic on that road.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's one for every 10,000 cars or one for...
It really is just, they don't necessarily break it down by traffic flow, they just break it down by crashes per time period.
I was just wondering, so it's like,
perfect. Yeah, so the November and December, that week's over.